Almighty God, we are grateful for this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you are listening online, there is a PDF file download that you can download the sermon notes and also devotions for your week. If you'd pull those out of your bulletin as we continue our series called Faith on the Big Screen, we've been looking at some of the movies released this summer and how they speak to aspects of the spiritual life. And in this particular movie, it's a story as old as time. The backstory of this particular movie is there are two brothers. They are children of the king. As would have it, the king dies and the oldest brother is to become the new king. The younger brother, however, is jealous of his brother's newly acquired position. The younger brother's ambition for power far outweighs his sense of morality, of what is right and wrong. So he begins to plot to get rid of his older brother so that he can become the new king and rule the land the way he wants to rule it, which is often heavy-handed and self-serving. Now, this has been played out in reality throughout time. It has been told in various ways throughout stories and movies. And in the Disney movie, The Lion King, the two brothers are Mufasa and Scar. Mufasa, the older brother, and Scar, the younger brother. The backstory is their father, who is the Lion King, dies, and the older brother, Mufasa, becomes king of the land, much to the disgust of the younger brother, Scar. Although Scar hopes one day Mufasa would simply go away and die so that he would be king. You see, Scar is the next in line to be king. But Mufasa and his bride, Sarabi, have a little cub whom they name Simba, which now moves Uncle Scar to third in line to be king. Of course, Simba, the young cub, is completely unaware of his uncle's problems, his envy, his jealousy, maybe even a touch of pride. These are emotions which embed themselves in his and even our hearts and minds and begins to cause us all to become bitter, where hatred instead of love grows for others, putting ourselves in a position to do stupid, crazy, and even hurtful things to ourselves or others. We're reminded of people whose hatred of others has taken them to extreme places, hurting countless others because they have become blind and numb to love and caring because of their envy, jealousy, and hatred. Now Mufasa, the wise Lion King, and Simba go out late one afternoon to a high place, and Mufasa shows Simba the kingdom that Simba will one day rule. And again, being the young cub he is, he thinks in terms of what others will do for him when he becomes king and the land is his. This, of course, is a very selfish way of seeing the world. But the wise king, Mufasa, says to Simba, to help correct his understanding of what it means to be king, says to his little cub, "The land belongs to no one, but you will protect it. The land belongs to no one, but you will protect it." And then he says these very biblical-sounding words, "A true king searches for what he can give. A true king searches for what he can give." Say it with me. A true king searches for what he can give. At its root, a person of wisdom seeks to give to others and not seeks what they can get from others. The envy and jealousy of Scar are not godly attributes as they seek what Scar can gain off the backs of others. It reminds me of Jesus' saying, which goes against the grain of the world. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for for one's friends. Greater love isn't what I gain because of what others do for me, but what I do for others for their gain. God's intentions for life here on earth is for peace and tranquility. The psalmist says, God knits us together in our mother's wombs, a God who is so attentive to us to be that involved in our coming into the world, a God who loves us and wants us to love God and others in return. But the world says, get whatever you want, no matter the cost, no matter who or what you have to run over to get there. If we could just remember this one thing that is expressed in The Lion King to Simba, a concept which would bring correction to all those who are far away from God, an important understanding for those near to God and those far from God, an understanding which people need to keep close to them in order to keep proper perspective always, a perspective the world no longer emphasizes and is emphasized further in this movie. If you remember, in The Lion King, Scar, with hatred in his heart, sets up an event to kill off Simba and his dad, Mufasa. He successfully removes Mufasa, and although Simba survives, Scar, in his twisted way, leads Simba to believe he killed his father. Simba is devastated to think that he killed the very person he loves, idolizes, and one day aspires to be. Again, it's easy to see how we allow others to influence how we see ourselves. We've all experienced people who maybe we love or respected, whether it be siblings, parents, spouses, extended family, coworkers, even friends, who have turned on us, made fun of us, and we took their words to heart. We aren't good enough. We'll never amount to much. We'll always let others down. Simba now believes his life is worthless, so Simba runs into the desert to die, but is found by two new friends who bring him to a beautiful land where he then grows up into adulthood. Friends who love and accept him for who he is. Through a series of events, which we have no time to go over, Simba is reminded of what has happened. He learns how his uncle Scar has not been searching for what he can give or to protect the kingdom. And in his confusion, he is confronted by this reminder from his father. You must remember who you are. Remember who you are. Simba remembers that he is indeed the son of the king, that his role is to protect the kingdom, to search for what he can give to the kingdom. He remembers who he is and whose he is. Now, if you're a Christian, one who has decided to believe Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that he died to have our disobedience to God forgiven, that he rose on the third day, showing there is indeed eternal life after death, eternal life for you and for me, you must then remember who you are and whose you are. John, who wrote about Jesus, said it so well. Yet to all who did receive him, received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Christian, remember who you are, that you are a child of God's, that you are fully loved by God, and that the Holy Spirit of God resides in you to remind you who you are, called to love God, love neighbors, love others, and love yourself. Love that is patient, kind. Love that does not envy, boast, it is not proud. Love that does not dishonor, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs. Love that does not delight with evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love that always protects, trusts, and hopes. It always perseveres and never fails. there's nothing that God, who loves you to death, cannot forgive you for if you remain in him. Remember who you are, child of God, a prince or princess of the King of Kings. Now, if you're still contemplating who God is or testing the waters to really invest some effort in knowing this God we serve, who created all that we see, you too must remember who you are. You were knit together by God in your mother's wombs, a God who loves you and says to you, "You are of sacred worth to me. You were created to be loved by me and for you to love me in return." Even though there have been uncle scars in your life who have sought to hurt you, to tear you down, take advantage of you, or twisted your understanding of what life is supposed to be, that was not of God's doing. It was the doing of people who have been filled with hatred and jealousy at worst, or misguided at least, who have been influenced by the scars of this world to do mean and unloving acts. They don't remember who they are and who they were created to be. But you know. You were created to be loved and to be loved in return and to love in return. When Simba realizes in his own life that he has unknowingly been running from this truth of who he is, when he remembers that he is not just a child of the king, but the king, he runs toward his call and sets it right, even when facing his fiercest adversary, Uncle Scar. Friends, when you realize, truly realize who you are, who you were meant to be, a child of the King, worthy of God's love and forgiveness. Friends, when you realize true love is found in giving to others unconditionally because you have already found your worth in God. Friends, when you realize who you are as a person of sacred worth, knit together by God to be loved and to love in return, it is then you can be set free from envy, from jealousy, and from hatred. It is then you can experience true love, true giving, true peace. Friends, remember who you are and whose you are. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you have loved us, and Lord, help us to love you in return. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would always help us to remember who we are and whose we are. Lord, that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and Lord, love our neighbors as ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.